Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sunday. How was everybody's night?
Great.
Yeah?
Fantastic. Anyone see any shows?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah. Team, you saw Tootsie, yes?
Tootsie worked pretty good.
Yes, really good.
Crying and laughing.
Yeah, everyone's talking about it. It's supposed to be one of the funniest shows on Broadway in a long time. Robert Horn, who wrote the book, was on my podcast this week. I urge you all to listen to it. It's a great story about how someone who loves theater actually got swept up into television for decades and then just really wanted to come back here and finally got here. And it, just like Stroh was saying yesterday about it always being a hustle, Robert Horn is really one of the most successful television writers we've had, Designing Women, a whole bunch of other stuff. And he couldn't get a musical going. He really couldn't. He had had many false starts. He wrote the book for 13. He came in, actually, which is a show that I produced, which is where I first met him. And over the years, he's been trying to get stuff going for a long time, and nothing has been able to happen until now. He's actually doctored a bunch of stuff, so he's been, like, uncredited. So this is, it's one of those things where it seems like an overnight success. It ain't. He's been banging away for a long time. Anyone else see something? Yeah?
Be More Chill.
You saw Be More Chill? Mm-hmm. Were you planning on seeing Be More Chill?
When we found out who you were bringing yesterday, yeah.
Amazing.
I was telling some of the people here this morning, I went really skeptical. I'm thinking, I'm not going to like this. I loved it.
Oh, great. Yeah. It's a fun show, and you can see, actually, I'm so glad he talked about Little Shop of Horrors being the first show, because it's very Little Shop.
Yes.
It's very Little Shop in its structure, for sure. Oh, that's great. Good. Was the audience, did they go nuts?
Yeah.
When they start singing that Michael in the Bathroom song. For those of you who don't know that story, it's an incredible one, and really, you should listen to that song, Michael in the Bathroom, because it's a great... That's what I was trying to get to with Joe, whether he knows it or not. And I think it's because he's really, like I said to him yesterday, do you feel like a misfit? And he was like, of course I do. Michael in the Bathroom is one of those songs. It's the one that went viral. It's the one that really young people all over really took hold of. And Joe has this incredible way of getting in the minds of just people and voice, which is what songs do. Songs make public inner thoughts, right? And I think Michael in the Bathroom, every single person on the planet has had the thought of escaping to a bathroom at a party and not wanting to go back out. And it's that's what it is. Yeah. It's about this teenager who's like, I don't want to go back. I'm going to pretend I'm looking at my phone because I have anxiety about being in a social situation. It's really, and he's very good at that. And I urge you all to try to capture that. It's also this theme of starting with Friday and promote you through the weekend, authenticity. I think a lot of people probably have thought about writing a song like Michael in the Bathroom before, but a lot of people said, no, I wouldn't want to talk about that because that's my really deep, dark, vulnerable place. When you do, other people will nod their head and say, yeah, that's exactly how I feel, and consume your content, whatever that is. Yeah.
Especially I like Tootsie's music also. It was very rich music, and there was my project music director was there in the second conductor and keyboard playing. So I also
that's great.
It was
that's
his first Broadway performance.
Oh, great! Yeah. Great. Yeah, that's great. When you staff up your own shows with people that are also working on Broadway, it helps the credibility and authority of your show as well. You get access to their network. It's terrific. David Yazbek wrote that score, who's having quite a run over the past several years, of course, with Band's Visit and now Tootsie. You want to talk about your show, which is something I never even heard about, and it's
a trademark, you know.
Yeah, that's what you do.
We went to see a show that is, for me, like next level cabaret. It's called The Devouring. It's produced by the House of Yes, which is a Brooklyn-based collective of artists, and the show is in the Edition Hotel, which is on 47th and right in Times Square, and. Highly recommend it if you're here next week. I don't think there's a show tonight, but it's like Cirque du Soleil acts within a nightclub, essentially. Incredible.
It And so here's the big question, because now we've seen word of mouth that like happening right now with all these shows, actually. It's one of the reasons I like to do this. How did you hear about it originally?
We went to look at the space as a potential space, the where they're doing, just to see the space as a potential spot for our show. And the concierge told us about this show that was happening.
The concierge at the hotel.
The hotel, yeah. Which is strange, because I'm connected to the House of Yes crew and stuff and didn't know about the show. So.
Mm. What is it called?
The Devouring.
The Devouring. It's a kid's show for no.
Yeah. A Marriage of Heaven and Hell. Times Square edition.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, it looks...
highly, highly recommend it. Especially to see something really different.
Is a love letter, an ode to the human experience, a feast and celebration of being alive. It is a cacophony of everything that is beautiful, honest, and at times terrifying. We will not perform for you, but rather celebrate with you and hold nothing back. Dinner.
Which was great.
We expect an appetite for a culinary and performance adventure. So listen, this is what, I didn't know anything about the show, but this is beginning, again, another sign of the revolution that is coming to entertainment in this city, without a doubt, happening in hotels and all over the place.
Packed. The show was packed, and one of the guys who was sitting behind me at the table said this was the sixth time he's seen the show.
And it's been open
for
1 month.
And it's $250.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much did you pay?
Including dinner.
You paid $250?
And $200.
$200, including dinner. But we felt that it exceeded its value. Like, it was better than the money spent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. So actually, they're getting more than a Broadway show, or as much, for something that certainly doesn't have the operating expenses of a Broadway show.
No, and has all the production value.
And of all the shows that we just talked about, I would say that one just got the most passionate word of mouth of all the three, right? I mean, all of them were good, but unlike anything you've seen, it was so worth it. It exceeded my expectations. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. So I urge all of you're all creators, I urge you to go check out, whether it's this show or any of the shows that are happening in non-proscenium environments, just to see how a show can be adapted for somewhere else. Like, whether it's the show you're currently working on or whether you're inspired to do something new, it actually, like, look, again, I said it yesterday, like, part of our goal is to get your shows to happen faster than you can on your own. Like, getting a theater, waiting in line, raising the money for the theater, all that stuff takes time, right? If you were doing a two-person play that was set in a bar and you were, like, going to rent somewhere on Theater Row and had to build a set for a bar and do all the... Or you could just find a bar and that was not busy from 6 to 7 or 10, whatever it is, and say, can I do my play in a corner of your bar? And you know what? You can have audience in the background. I need people at the bar. Like... So, like, that stuff is actually cool. And for those of you who saw my Promote You, my talk on Friday, that's actually what gets attention, too. That's what the press, like, digs into about stories like that, when people are just doing something differently. So it's I recommend you explore those shows just to, as I wrote in the blog, think outside the theater. There may be something on with your own show, or frankly, something new that you could come up with that you can action quickly. I've always wanted to set a play across a chess table in the corner of Washington Square Park. Mm-hmm. Anyone been down there? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where all the guys play speed chess?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that is such a cool little world, its own little ecosystem. And I have actually, being a chess fan myself, have sat around one of those tables and watched. And if you've ever watched those guys go back and forth, they trash talk. They're like, it's an amazing thing. Very searching for Bobby Fischer.
I love that movie.
So I've always wanted to set a play there. I could get free theater space, like, anytime I want to. Just put one actor next to another actor and do it. Actually, I'm like talking this through, like, I got to fucking do this. To put this on my toodle-do. So I encourage you all to do that. Do you have a question?
I would encourage you, if you can go back into the PBS archives and see Julius Caesar staged in this prison by inmates in England. It's absolutely amazing. The inmates, I'm like, these have got to be professional actors. I mean, they throw down. It's absolutely amazing. You get to see the staging, you get to see, and they invite, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Very cool. What else? This time is really for us to reflect and do exactly what we're doing.
Yeah. Women's prison?
No.
I'm sorry.
Whole other level right there.
Women are doing all the roles. I'm sorry about how I left that out. It's all women.
Wow.
Every role.
Wait, very cool.
There's women in jail?
No wonder it's so good. Any other thoughts from yesterday? Any of the speakers that you thought about? Anything really resonate yesterday from Joe or Stro or any of the ones in the round table that I missed, actually? Yeah?
Well, when you say resonate, I really love the comment by Susan Stroman about dance enabling transitions. And that is something I have thought about in my script and wondered, you know, maybe I can do that. Now to hear her talk about it, for me, was like great.
Yeah, I've had a big, just to show you that the stuff that I do like is such a learning experience for me as well. I had a major light bulb moment with Josh Bergas. You can hear it. If you listen to the podcast, you can hear my brain explode a bit. Because I asked him about when do you like to come into the process of creating a show as a choreographer? And he was like, early. One of the things that I think is a real problem is that writers don't bring choreographers in early enough. And I thought of myself and I was like, I don't do that. Why don't I do that? Because I didn't grow up on dance. I don't know dance as a language. But I do know this as a musical theater maker, and from my research with audience, dance is absolutely expected from the thousands and thousands of people that walk through Times Square today getting a ticket to a show. Essential. So, I did some dial testing. This was a thing that I did on Summer in Time and actually on Getting the Band Back Together when it was a George Street Playhouse. I put 100 dials in the hands of audience members, and they were able to, so the debate technology or movie technology, like it, hate it, neutral, right? And then you graph all these people and you see their response throughout a show. Incredibly revealing. So one of the things we noticed about Getting the Band Back Together in 2013, there was a number in Act One, this audition sequence, and it was different than what we did on Broadway. It's called American Dream, and we didn't like the song. But we never got to rewrite a new one by the time George Street opened. So we were like, oh, we can't wait till we rewrite a new song. And we became Find the One here, which was about a double entendre of finding a man for the band and also the guy finding his one. We were going to replace it. We hated it. And I watched the dials expecting them all to sync during that section, and they all spiked. And why they spiked, it was because it was the first dance number in Act One.
Oh.
People in crazy costumes, rhythmic gymnastics. We had actually, when we did the show on Broadway, one of my post-mortem discussions is we didn't have enough high-energy dance in that number than, frankly, we should have, in my opinion. So we had all sorts of crazy things. We tried, but I would have gone back to a little bit more of the high-energy stuff. The people need, want, crave dance. It's what they think of when they think of a Broadway show. So think about, and how many writers in this room grew up dancing? Yeah, not many, right? So the rest of you have to put on, like, dance. How does dance fit in? Or get a choreographer to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Or, I saw The Ferryman last night, which is a very serious play.
Yeah.
It was a dance, and it was right about the midpoint. The whole family gets up and dances. Adds a lot of energy, and
It's what, and frankly, with plays, it's super interesting because it, like, look, I often try to think of as I've gotten older, and it gets harder for me to stay awake for 3 hours in a dark room. So, the physiology of the human body, right, and the mind. When you're staring at a static image, a stage, for 2.5 hours, you can go a little blurry, right? It happens all the time.
Can you imagine television?
Right.
Watching one scene on television?
Like, so the way TV gets away with it, that's why television and film cuts all the time. Watch an action movie. I watched Jason, The Bourne Identity for the first time last night. Bang, 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 bang. Because it's not about plot, it's about action. And they know if they show one image for too long, you're going to just dull over because it's 2D and not 3D. We can take it in 3D a little more. But how Jez Butterworth brilliantly breaks up a three-hour epic is he throws dance, he puts a goose, a baby. I would argue that that thing is a musical. Right, it has that energy.
Well, they sing like five songs.
Yeah,
brothers, so it's drinking and singing.
Think about how you can incorporate dance into your piece as you write and as you create. You all think about how to do song. Josh Burgas said, when people, and Stroh started to say this as well, when people can't speak, they sing. And Josh said, and when they can't sing, they dance. Mm-hmm. Think about that as you write. It will create a more evolved piece. So great, great comments. Yeah?
I enjoy Susan Strowman and Atani, how she's been in the thick of it for a long time, consistently, and how he had a lull or different disappointments, and how the through line for both of them was, this is what I do, so I'm going to keep doing it regardless. That was very poignant and powerful.
Yeah. Listen, your career is going to go up, down, right? So the key is, though, you don't want it to make it like up down like an EKG. You want it to feel like the stock market. It's gonna have ups and downs. You're just gonna have a steady growth over the decades of your career, right? That's what you're trying to do. But you're going to have dips. I mean, look, I had the highest of high this year and probably the lowest of low. I mean, it's gonna happen, and it will happen again. But it's just part of it. It's part of it. Yeah, it's Stroh, I love, she's still hustling. Like, I hope I get a theater. What the F? It's incredible. She's got to go into those rooms just like I do and say, this is why I deserve the theater this year. This year.
Do you think her being a woman, like, has anything to do with that maybe they judge her differently? Because they do in everything else. Women always got to be twice as good at it to get the same amount of it.
Well, you heard her yesterday, which was like mind-blowing, because the funny thing is she said the thing about the baseball hat. Knew her with a baseball hat. She, like, when I first met her, I was the associate company manager on Showboat. She wore a baseball hat all the time. I just thought that was her thing. I thought she liked baseball hats, and to hear that it was a conscious decision was upsetting to me. And also, like, I admire her now so much more for understanding what the challenge was and saying, I'm going to work my way through this business, so I'm going to get up and then be a role model to everybody else and tell people, hey, F you, look how I did this, and look, you can do it too. And she can now encourage lots of women to come up after her and help them. So I was blown away by that. There's another woman that, Lynn Meadow, you should listen to her podcast. She talks about the head of Yale Drama basically telling her to her face she wasn't getting in because she was a woman. It's gross. It's gross. Anything else? Reflections from yesterday?
Yeah, I think just one of the things that impressed me about this whole weekend is just the incredible graciousness of everybody. It just so impresses me. I mean, I guess I had this thought in my head that there was some type of, you know, cutthroat nature behind the business, and I've been proven wrong. It's just been really lovely.
I'm glad to hear that. I mean, we work very hard to curate the group of people that come in here. But I find that, look, Broadway is super hard, and when people crack through, they really just want other people to do it as well, and they love it so much and they want people to experience it. But that's really great to hear. I often say it's like, sometimes Broadway is like a Thanksgiving dinner. You know, we can get like, we're all a family, we sit down and sure, we can squirrel away and be like, did you hear what Uncle Charlie said? That's the most ridiculous thing. Aunt Edna is there. I mean, listen, that can happen. There's no question about it. But at the end of the day, we all sit down at the same table and we're a small family. There's not many people that do this. I mean, it's the coolest thing whenever I go to the Tony Awards is like you look down into the orchestra and there's a group of people in the prime seats and they've been there for decades and decades. They help build the industry. And I think about like, wow, that will be me. Like, I'm going to be here for doing this for another 40, 50 years. And the people around me now that are coming up, including all of you, will be the next generation. We'll be that group. We'll be that family around that table. It's good to hear.
Yeah, the recurring theme, actually, from a lot of the people is that when you're talking about your press agent, your general manager, and other people that you're going to be working with, that these people really appreciate and like the show that you were working with, rather than just hiring them, on a contract basis. And I think that's very important too. They really have to be invested in the show as well.
Yeah, good. Okay, so let me just take a quick poll, because we're always, of course, looking for feedback. But I'm getting the sense the content breakout rooms that you had yesterday, you liked that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That. So
yeah.
We're going to commit to that. So this was an experiment this weekend, and we are going to commit to that. So every Inner Circle from here on out, we're actually going to do that same kind of split. We will have alternative programming in the other room. We had a brainstorming session yesterday. We're going to bring in a dramaturge. I'm going to bring in someone who specializes in demos and cast recordings. We're going to bring in a marketing. We're going to do all sorts of stuff around all the industry, an agent, like all sorts of things. So if you have ideas on these types of people that you'd like to have those sessions with, just tell Mary. We're going to program this and have lots of stuff. In fact, next time we'll have almost twice as many as this time. Because this time we could only get the second room for yesterday. We couldn't get the second room for today. But next time going forward, we're going to make sure and invest in that second room for all of you to have all this stuff. So if you have ideas on people you want to talk to, or just again, say, tell Mary. I also love how the spotlight sessions are smaller and more intimate now. We can really get into some nitty-gritty stuff. So today we're going to do something a little bit different. We don't have that second room, but what we are going to do is what I want to continue these conversations and you to think about the takeaways and how you can apply them specifically to what you're doing. So we're going to do these like open discussion round tables. Monica is one floor up and she has like hijacked in a public space a table where you can go up and have a open forum discussion on raising money. Okay, that's the first one. She's also that you can talk to her about marketing, talk about anything, but we thought we're doing these throughout the day. So this one, try to keep it on topic of raising money, including, by the way, things that have worked for you, things, best practices, ideas that you're going to implement now, question, all sorts of things, and try to come up with some specific things that you're going to do. At the end of the day today, I'd love to hear some specific ideas. Hey, we're going to do this to try to raise some money based on the discussion. So try to come away with some things that you can do. So if you want to participate in that conversation, really general mastermind brainstorming about raising money amongst yourselves, you can go upstairs and Mary will take you. I'll do some more spotlight sessions in here with some other issues. We'll try to keep them off the raising money issue. We'll let that happen upstairs. Later on, then we'll take a break, and then we'll do another open discussion about what's the second? Press. Mm-hmm. How to generate press for your stuff, ideas, things that have worked. While I do some more spotlights, and then we'll do Kevin, and then we'll do a little wrap-up about that at the end of the day and hear about some of these specific ideas. Sound good? Sound fun?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Great. So if you want to participate in that brainstorming, money raising, go upstairs. And Monica's great. She's going to really moderate the discussion for you. And she, I will tell you this about Monica, because she's not in the room. Monica has been with me since she was an intern. And Monica is one of the people on my staff that thinks the most like me. She really very quickly, and that's why I've kept her around and actually kept promoting her and doing more stuff, because she gets it. She gets my way of thinking and she actions it. She just literally, so you'll learn a lot from her, both ideas, and literally she will say like, okay, so when are you doing that? When are you doing that? Because I'll have it done tomorrow. Mm-hmm. All right, so enjoy that with her, and then I'll gather with some folks and do some spotlights down here. Okay.